Welcome guys to another video. Sorry I've been a little bit inactive, but I've been busy a little bit. But anyways, I look forward to coming back and doing more of these videos as we flow. Today I got something a little bit special. I will be doing a ask questions about a team. On this episode, it's going to be the Pacers, and I'm going to discuss my answers to your questions about the Pacers. I received plenty of questions, so let's see how long this will take. Okay, so let's get started. Okay, so first question. What do you think about their future? I don't know why, but I feel that they're not good. Same, I totally agree with you. I feel like they're a fake team. They're just pretenders. I don't see that Nuggets type of potential due to their lack of serious depth, which I will touch upon later with other questions. But yeah, without their... I just don't see how they can contend in the East for a conference final or a final or a championship, because they have an injury right now, and that's one thing to consider. But then also they lost plenty of depth, and the loss of Bogdanović is something that I don't think people are highlighting. Bogdanović is someone who can score 30 at any random night. I mean, he did give LeBron a tough time, and giving LeBron a tough time is something obviously difficult to do, and if you do it, then you're a good player, and they lost a good player, and I don't think TJ Warren can replace him. And for that reason, I agree with you, I don't think their future is that bright. They're just going to be a mediocre team. They have some nice pieces, Sabonis for the future, Bitadze, I don't know, let's see how he does. But yeah, I see them being like an Oklahoma City Thunder type of team. The same Thunder that has been post-KD Thunder, of course. And then eventually they're just going to blow it up because they don't win, or they cannot win. Okay, next question. Did they lose depth? Yeah, as I touched on it, they did lose depth. There was some unintentional depth losing with Tyreek Evans, who got suspended for being a crackhead or whatever. And then with Darren, who retired to pursue his personal goals. I mean, I would respect him for that. But yeah, they lost a bench. They lost their bench too in terms of other pieces such as Corey Joseph. I don't think TJ McConnell could replace Corey Joseph because Corey Joseph provides shooting, which is something TJ McConnell does not provide consistently. And in the playoffs, I think we've all seen it repeatedly. Shooting is key. They lost shooting off the bench, because assuming they run Sabonis off the bench, not TJ Leaf, he's going to be their sixth man, and then they're going to have Bitadze, so he's going to be a key player off the bench this season. Let's see how his rookie season goes again. But yeah, they lost a lot of shooting, and I think it's inevitable, because the loss of Thaddeus Young is also another huge loss for the Pacers that is underlined. Young could shoot, and he gave the Pacers a dynamic where they can have Turner at the four at all times in the form of Sabonis, if you get what I mean. Okay, so let's go on to the next question. Okay. So this question says, are they even a top 10 team with everyone healthy? Maybe with the parity today, I mean... 7 through 10 is a lock in my... I mean, sorry. 1 through 7 is a lock in terms of the best teams. I see Clippers, Jazz, Lakers, Rockets, Philadelphia, Nuggets, Milwaukee. I mean, I may have left some teams, but I guess spots 8 through 10 are up for grabs. I don't know. Maybe they can be a top 10 team. Maybe they're not. I want to see how their Summer League team does, how Bitadze does, how some of their returning Summer League players do, just to get a feel for how well they would have their new depth. Because again, also you need to factor in chemistry with TJ Warren. He's a completely new player, and yeah, there have been some complaint type of questions on him. I will get to it, but yeah, spots 8 through 10 are wide open. Maybe they can fit, maybe they don't. We'll see as the summer league progresses, as potential trades progress. We'll see. Okay, next one. As a Pacers fan, what do you think our ceiling is, and how well do you think Brogdon will fit? Okay, so for ceiling, I will say third seed behind Philadelphia and Milwaukee. I would say in the playoffs at a maximum potential, a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I would say that while accounting for injuries, because we all know that Embiid is not someone who's going to consistently show up just due to injuries, and then Ben Simmons has his occasional playoff blunders, so maybe, yeah, I can see them sneaking into the Eastern Conference in the best case scenario, assuming everyone returns to healthy, including Oladipo, who would not suffer any further setbacks. I mean, this is a bad injury to have for Oladipo. So yeah, we'll see. I can see them having a trip to the Eastern Conference Final as a like top 1% type of situation. But for now, I will have them at a second round exit. I mean, in normal situation. And for your second part of the question, I think Brogdon fits well and anywhere on any team. You know how I love Brogdon. You've seen that with my content. Yeah, Brogdon is a well-rounded player. He does everything really well. I mean, nothing really at a high level aside from shooting. And he will be the perfect fourth best player on any given team. And he's a good role player, but I'm not sure how he may adjust with the increased usage rate since Oladipo is out. But I mean, I trust him. I trust Nate McMillan. I think they will figure something out. They will make it work because they have good coaching. I think he will take on a lot of that load that Bogdanovich had to try to spread it along with Jeremy Lamb, who is an underrated pickup. Okay, next question. Starting lineup when the season starts without Victor Oladipo. Okay, I'm going to go with Brogdon, Lamb, Warren, TJ Leaf, and Turner. And the reason I say TJ Leaf is because you need spacing, and a spacing on the modern NBA, this is something Sabonis does not provide. And additionally, Sabonis is a great piece off the bench, arguably the third best sixth man. And that's how it was last year in the awards, I believe. But yeah, TJ Leaf, I would run him. It's good for his development. It's good for the team spacing on the court, because when you have Lamb, Warren, Bogdanovich, and TJ Leaf, that's a very well spaced floor. And you know, good spacing is an important part for all sleeper teams who are underdogs and act as and who can go the distance as underdogs. They need good spacing. That is a feature of Denver. I don't think they're as good as Denver, but that is a feature on Denver and Utah. They have really good court spacing, so they can act as underdogs. But yeah, that's my starting lineup without Victor. Let's see how they roll out, though. Okay, anyways. Do you think they will play differently when Victor Oladipo comes back, or no? Okay, in terms of play style, I don't think they will play differently. I think they're going to play the same. They're going to play the same intensive game in good defense, decent offense. And defense will most definitely improve. You can only get better with an all NBA defensive player joining your team. So I don't see how they get worse in that department. I think they can improve on offense in those slow pace situations where the pace slows down and it's more isolations, because Victor Oladipo is a closer. He was the most clutch player last season, according to Clutch Stats. So yeah, Victor Oladipo will definitely help the Pacers in clutch time, but I don't really see him radically changing their play style. I mean, Oladipo is an easy player to build around. He plays defense, he has average playmaking, he finishes, he drives, he shoots. Yeah, he does it all. You don't need to alter your offense to reincorporate him in from injury. Okay, next question. Are they a top 5 team in the East? Yes, definitely, for sure. Probably not before Victor Oladipo, because because the East got a little bit heavier with Miami joining the mix. But yeah, not before Victor Oladipo. But then I think they'll be fine. January, that's a lot of time for them to better improve their record. Yeah, I think so. I think I have them finishing third. We'll see. Okay, where do you think they'll finish in the 19-20 season? Oh, interesting. Third. Yeah. Will TJ Warren tank their defense? probably before Oladipo comes back, just because he's a poor on-ball defender too. But yeah, probably. I mean, when Victor Oladipo comes back, I don't see him having that much of an impact, just because he will be surrounded by three other great defenders and a fourth average defender, and then that will let them be. Yeah, I can see that. I will repeat. Yeah, four. Because right now, TJ Warren, he has bad defensive stats, but then when you look at who he was around in Phoenix, Ayton, who was his partner in the front court, that's bad. Like, that's a already bad defensive team in Phoenix in that situation. And I don't think it can go more south from there. So he will definitely improve now that he has something to play for, something to win. He will put in more effort, I believe, on the perimeter. And he will try to track his man and not ball watch, which is a problem, in my opinion, with many NBA players today, including him. But yeah, before Victor Oladipo, his defense may be a problem. But then after Oladipo comes back and there's a solid defensive core, they can hide him. That's what I think. Sorry for the long answer. Okay, next question. Do you think we will be seeing Sabonis and Turner lineups more or less often than last year? Okay, I think we will see it more often just because they lost depth, but I think the Pacers staff will try their best to keep it on a minimum. Like, they'll try to keep Sabonis and Turner staggered because that's a great advantage you get on both offense and defense. Even though Sabonis does not get the blocks, he does have good defensive field goal percentage. I'm not sure about the numbers off the top of my head, but I know he is a decent paint defender and a post defender and a rebounder. So the Pacers will try everything they can, I think, to stagger the minutes to give Turner a implied total presence over the entire game. But they'll try to keep it at a minimum, but we will definitely see this rotation more often, especially early on the season when Bitadze is not really oriented to the league and they need to give him less minutes just to get him adjusted for the league. Okay, next question. Is TJ Warren's shot going to hold up? And is how effective will he even be on a good team? Sorry for saying that again. Okay, not sure. Because Warren's season could have been an anomaly in last season when you account for streakiness and the hot hand factor, which may or may not exist. But yeah, I'm not sure if he can hold up at 39%, was it? I think he's going to dip down to like 36%. And with such a player, what I think his role or fit will be, honestly, I expect him to mesh kind of like J.R. Smith did with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Decent role. He may save you some games. He may kill you some games. I mean, I don't think he's going to score 7 three-pointers in a game, which is something J.R. Smith could repeatedly do. But I think he can score 4 or 5 three-pointers in a game, or he can go 0 for 5 from 3, and he can either kill your game or make or win your game. Yeah, he's just going to be a random type of player. Okay, I think this is the last question. Yeah. Do you like the fit of Brogdon at the point? Yes, I love Brogdon, and as I said earlier, he can fit anywhere. He does everything at a good level. Nothing too high, though, and I think that's what's holding him back. Yeah, he's a good shooter. He plays defense. He does everything right. I mean, I watched him with Milwaukee. I thought he was their second best player last season, in the playoffs, of course, not in the regular season. And he does everything right. I like Brogdon. I think he's a really good pickup, especially for the salary. I was hoping as a Thunder fan that they could flip Westbrook for Brogdon, but whatever now. And yeah, I think Brogdon will fit really well, especially with Oladipo, as he will be the second ball handler to relieve some pressure, paired with Jeremy Lamb, who I think should start with them. I'm just going to add this at the end. I think the Pacers' starting lineup should be, when fully healthy, Brogdon at point, Jeremy Lamb at shooting guard. I know this lineup may seem a little small, but I'll tell my rationale. Victor Oladipo at small forward, TJ Warren at power forward, and then Turner at center. And I think the advantage with this lineup is that you can shoot a lot of threes. And it's kind of like the Hampton 5 lineup, but the cheap one. Oladipo can have that Kevin Durant role, and then Warren will have that Iguodala role. Turner, he's a great defender. He can have that Draymond role. Yeah, I see them. Yeah, I like that lineup. Maybe they won't start with it, but I can definitely see them close games with this lineup, a shooting lineup. So that's all I have for today. Thank you for sending your questions. I look forward to making a new video, especially with this type of format. I'm going to see how it does. So yeah, I'm probably going to go edit the video and add the questions to the screen just to make it easier for you guys to understand. And yeah, thanks for watching. If you like my content, you can check out all the links in my description. I have a website. I have a Instagram account. That's where I get the questions from. So if you're new off the search feature or any of those features on YouTube, you can definitely check it out. I won't take much of your time. I mean, I put time into my content and quality, so yeah, I would definitely appreciate it if you check it out. So anyways, have a good day, and I guess I'll see you next video if you decide to subscribe.